This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Because the non-believing nations, there's no hujjah on them anymore. What do I mean by that? Like if there's an Aborigines nation now, and they didn't meet the Rasul of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so the only contact with Islam they will have is us, right? So they cannot be destroyed, because nations that get destroyed are the ones that the direct guidance of a prophet came to them and then they rejected it. Allah says that they say we believe in what was given to us, and Allah is saying no, they actually deny what was given to themselves also.
There was a part today where you mentioned, Saad, about narcissism in general, in terms of it could be anyone that is really looking at Islam or looking at the Quran in a way that they want, you know, that best fits their ego or their vice or their excesses or their vices, temperaments, etc. Right. I thought that was really powerful, because that conversation doesn't really happen as readily, because in terms of self-awareness or wanting to learn the Quran and Islam for itself, sometimes our own vices, our own nafs gets in the way of that, and that having that authentic understanding. So I actually want to ask a different question, but it's kind of connected. A few days ago you asked about, you actually mentioned in passing about some rabbis believe in the Quran being true. I had this similar sort of thing I wanted to look into, because when I so online there's rabbis like Ben Abrahams, and there's a rabbi Tovia Singer. They're very sympathetic to Islam and the Quran.
Yeah,
so I always had that curiosity, and when I asked some teachers about you know, Jews that actually do believe in the Quran, they didn't have that necessarily that experience themselves with rabbis that may have had that train of thought. So I just wanted to ask to you, because they use rationales, like for example, for the basis of them following Judaism, even though they think that Islam is the truth or the Quran is the truth, they have evidences they use from the Quran as well. So they say there's the famous ayah that says, "I've perfected your way of life." And so when it makes reference to the word deen, the rationale of the Jew say, is basically, you know, it does it says deen but not sharia, for example. And there's another one that they use, for example, chapter 2 verse 62, indeed those who have believed and those who were Jews and Christians or Sabians, those you believed in Allah and the last day and did righteousness will be you know, granted Jannah and stuff. So they lash onto those specific evidences in the Quran to justify their belief.
They're holding onto their own religion. Yeah.
And also can hold on to the belief that Islam is true, but will stick to our own religion. Yeah. And that's justified. So because you mentioned you actually knew of rabbis that may have had that, I just wanted to ask you the question, because why I mentioned the narcissism part could maybe be linked to spiritual narcissism in this case, as to why they have this train of thought, like there's more to it than me.
I can judge what goes on in their hearts. I can tell you that the idea that the ayah, you know, al-sabi'ina man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? It begins with Ya Bani Israel. The passage begins with Ya Bani Israel and says, believe in this book and la takunu awwala kafirin bihi. Don't become the first to disbelieve in it, right? And then it says, this is the same passage that says, man ansakh min ayatina unsiha, that your scripture is now mansukh. It's abrogated. It's the same passage that says it. So the cherry picking is kind of a little too obvious. And then the word deen, sharia, is not used in the sense of law in the Quran anywhere. Actually, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا is not even about, sharia is a pathway. Sharia actually in Arabic means a road that leads to water. It's a figurative term. It's not a term for law. We coined it as a term for law. Right? So the term for law is hukum of Allah and the deen of Allah, actually. And deen itself means judgment. And that's why it's used for passing judgments. The kamata dinu tudan, the way you judge people or the way you deal with people is how you shall be dealt with. So it's not a very good attempt at when we have our own Sharia. And actually, that sentiment, وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ, Allah says that they say we believe in what was given to us, and Allah is saying no, they actually deny what was given to themselves also. Like he was telling the rabbis, you're not even following what you say you follow. That's how unapologetic Allah is in the Quran about this. I mean, I respect the rabbis that are sympathetic to us, and they, like you mentioned, Rabbi Ben Abramson, he's studying, or he's a scholar of hadith too, apparently, and he writes about the correlations between the Judaic tradition and hadith traditions and things like that. But that sentiment, I don't see any merit to it.
My question to you is, yesterday you talked about how the Prophet part of his rahmah was that because he came and he's the last prophet that we're going to ever have, no nation will ever be destroyed.
Yeah.
After that. But yeah. Today you kind of mentioned how Allah didn't destroy a nation because there may be a few that have been saying istighfar and stuff and calling Allah's name.
Yeah, that's among the believing, yeah.
Yeah. Can you clarify, like, is there a difference? Or yeah, what do you mean in that respect?
Good question. So Allah was talking about that concept, particularly in Mecca. And he was even telling the Prophet ﷺ that because, you know, the people of Mecca, when they expelled the Prophet ﷺ, they've committed the same crime as the people of Nuh and the people of Salih and the people of Shu'aib, etc. They've done the same thing, which means they should face the same consequences. And Allah then says, Allah won't punish them so long as you're among them. And Allah won't punish them so long as some people are still doing istighfar. And from it extrapolated became a principle that Allah won't destroy nations, especially, first of all, believing nations, because the non-believing nations, there's no hujja on them anymore. What do I mean by that? Like if there's an Aborigines nation now, and they didn't meet the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the only contact with Islam they will have is us, right? So they cannot be destroyed, because nations that get destroyed are the ones that the direct guidance of a prophet came to them and then they rejected it. But within us, within our people, Muslims, when so long as some people are making istighfar, Allah will not replace the ummah with another. Because he can. With the Muslim ummah, he can replace us. And he says he will. But there's also this kind of caveat. So long as some people are making istighfar, you're cruising. Right?
Hey everyone, you just watched me answer a question somebody had about the Quran. I'm sure you have many questions about the Quran yourself. A lot of these questions get answered in the Deeper Look study myself and my team do and turn into a series of the Quran on the Deeper Look series, available at bayinatv.com. So get your questions answered, sometimes even without having to ask them, by studying these surahs in depth with us at bayinatv.com under the Deeper Look section.